Church, go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and be seated. If you have your Bibles with you, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 is where we're going to be camping out today as we continue in our series that we have been in. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. If you want a little bit of help, and there goes Galatians, you got Ephesians, Philippians, and then you land into Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, 6 and 7. These are the words of the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul to the church in Colossae. He says this, verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. You have your Bibles and you have a pen. Underline that, circle that. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted, verse 7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught. Paul lands famously at this point, abounding with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I pray that your word would convict us, that your word would bring change to us, that we would see you as beautiful, as good. We would see you as faithful. And Lord, as we continue down the path and the journey towards newness, I pray that as we head towards that path, that we would stay solidly connected to you. Because without you, Lord, we're helpless. Without you, Lord, we're lost. And so today I pray that your name would be glorified and exalted first above all, but also that your people would see you as who you truly are, a savior. I pray for that today, Lord. I pray for those who are in this room, those who are watching online, that they would capture something from today's message. Not something because of what I said, but what you are speaking to their hearts. Because, Lord, you are speaking still. You are still speaking. And I pray what we hear today would bring renewal. I pray that what we hear today would bring a fresh and better perspective. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's perfect and wonderful and holy name is who we pray. Amen. 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 Hey, give it up for the worship team, church. Give it up, man. I was going to give my life to Jesus again the way they was worshiping. My goodness. Man, well, good morning, Christ Church. Glad to have each and every one of you guys here with us. My name is Javon. I happen to be one of the pastors here at Christ Church. I'm excited to be with you guys. Say hello to all of our online family. Say hello to our online family. Good to have you here, online family. And as Chet said, if this is your first time hanging out with us, man, we do want to get to know you. We do have a gift for you. We do love you. And we want you to know that you belong. That's what we believe here. We want you to know that you belong. Well, today we're going to be continuing in a series that we have been in called Breathing Underwater. Now, this series is all about dealing and addressing and taking actions on our struggles. Because here's the thing, church, if you have a pulse, which I hope you do, if you don't, we'll get you help. But if you got a pulse, that means you have this thing called a struggle. And we all have struggles in many different ways and many different situations where it causes us to lean towards our dysfunction rather than God's blessings. And so what we want to do is in this series continue to address it. Because listen, your struggle is a lifelong struggle, y'all. There's no such thing as Mount Everest when it comes to completion in your faith. You're going to be doing this all the way till the Lord Jesus call you home. All right? So we want to try to help equip what that looks like throughout our lives. And speaking about struggle, you want to know one of my greatest struggles? Some of you are going to laugh because when I say this, and if you do laugh, the ushers will kick you out. Right, Tony? You got that? So where's my man, Tony? There you go. So one of the things that I struggle with is this thing called consistency. Thank you. I'm not the only sinner in here. Thank you. I'm the type of guy that makes all these New Year's resolutions, and then by February, they're like gone. And I'm back to what I did in December and November for the year before. I struggle with this, and it's all because, and my wife says this, and you know what? It makes me mad when she says this, but I'm going to be honest with you. It's got a little bit of truth to it. She says I can be a little bit complacent. Complacency has ruined a lot of growth, if I can just be honest with you. As a matter of fact, it reminds me, when I think of complacency, it reminds me, I had a buddy that I went to high school with, and in high school, he was like a big-time athlete. I mean, when I say big-time athlete, like football, he was the man. He was the man. He was ranked high in the state, high in the nation. He had all these offers from West Virginia. I saw somebody with a West Virginia jacket on. He had offers from West Virginia, Ohio State, the Scarlet and Gray, the great Ohio State. He also had an offer from this one demonic school called Michigan. I've never heard of it before. Thank God he didn't go there. Thank God. But he was just this awesome athlete. And a year before, all these offers and all the rankings, man, he blossomed and he killed it. Well, then the next year, let's just say his season didn't go so well, right? His season didn't go so well. His rankings, it dropped. He lost scholarships. It was a very hard time for him. And I remember, we were really close friends, and I remember being in his kitchen, and, you know, he was kind of like trying to figure out, like, what's going on? Why am I losing these offers? Why am I dropping in rankings? And his dad said, I know what your problem is. You've gotten too complacent. You thought that you arrived. You thought you were the big man on the campus. You saw all these scholarships and all this success, and therefore, you just slowed down. You just slowed down, and you aren't as hungry as you used to be. You're not as passionate as you used to be. And I remember sitting in the kitchen, and it was just so silent, but I was like, bro, that's so true, though. I mean, his dad got a little bit of a point to that. What I'm trying to say is there's danger when it comes to complacency. And as we continue in this series, as we continue to strive towards fullness and wholeness, because I believe God's heart for you is transformation, to become more Christ-like. The Bible speaks on that a lot. But as we head towards that, the one thing Christians, as followers of Jesus, what we cannot afford to do is to fall into the pit of complacency. Fall into the plant where we just kind of like, you know what, things are good. You know, that's kind of when life begins to fall, is when things are good. You get super comfortable. You're like, life is easy. You know, I'm sitting in God's blessing, so therefore I'm going to take a step back, and I'm just going to chill. But I read this book, and this book said this: complacency is the silent killer. And I thought that was so amazing. Complacency is the silent killer. So today, what we want to do is that we want to be mindful that it's easy, friends, as we, again, head towards completion and fullness, it's easy to go backwards. You and I will face that temptation every single day. As Christ begins to renew us, as Christ begins to shape us, as Christ begins to do a good work in us. And Paul says in Philippians, it's a good work that he'll bring to completion. But we can short all of that is when we fall into complacency. And the way that how we avoid that is when you and I take the route and we're passionate about not falling to complacency, but being connected to Christ. If you want to avoid not growing, be connected to Christ. Because our connection to him is everything. And for us to continuously to be healthier, we must remain connected to the source. Because Jesus is not a resource to your life. He is the source. He is the source that allows you and I to head towards a path where we're going in a different direction than what we were going before. Because our connection to Christ, what it does, it sustains the freedom that we have in him. Our connection to Christ sustains the freedom that we have in him. Now, here's the thing. Being connected to Christ and believing in Christ are two different things. There's a lot of people, listen, there's a lot of people like, I believe in Jesus. I like Jesus. He's cool. You know, I like that. You know, said a lot of cool things. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? He stood on this mountain, and, you know, he said all these nice and cool things. And I like his values. But there's one thing about saying that, hey, I believe in Jesus. But there's another one about being connected to Jesus, about being devoted to Jesus. And so what we, again, want to continuously to say is that we cannot afford to lose that connection. You ever lost connection in your house when the Wi-Fi goes out? It's like you freak out. Babe, the Wi-Fi's out. Are you serious? I know, the Armageddon, it's here. It's the worst thing ever, right? Right? Because when you lose connection, friends, you lose everything. And there's a future for each and every one of us, but that future only happens when we're connected to the source. Amen? When we're connected to the source. And Paul talks about this to the church in Colossians. And so just kind of give you a backstory. Colossians, what they were a healthy church, but they had this problem where that they were allowing outside influences to get in front of Jesus. We know what that's like, right? Right, they had this faith, they had this great walk and this great connection to Christ. And man, the church in Colossae, they grew. This was a nice growing church, but they were starting to fall and drift into a place of complacency. They started to see that the world can offer them some wisdom more than what God actually can offer them, a better way of wisdom. They started to kind of get connected to the wrong things. And what happens is when they got connected to the wrong things, it pushed away the most important thing, which was their connection to Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? So they started bringing in all these things. And next you know, Christ was absent. So Paul has to come in and he's got to do some work. Because Paul is a preacher. Paul is a pastor. He is a shepherd above shepherds. I mean, other than the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. But Paul is the man. So he comes in and he does a lot of cleanup work. And what he wants the church to know is that your connection to Christ, man, that's everything. Because Christ is enough. All the wisdom and the love and the satisfaction and the understanding and the knowledge and the hope and all that we aspire for, friends, it's found in Christ. It's found in Jesus. And Paul is telling them, hey, listen, Christ is all that you need. Hey, it's good to learn. It's good to grow. It's good to grasp, but it's even better to be connected to Christ. So Paul starts off, he says in verse 6, bring up verse 6 for them. Paul starts off and he says, therefore, as I just described to you, that's what Paul is continuing what he said before, which was Jesus is enough. And he goes on, he says, therefore, as you have received Christ, now received is in the past tense. It was something that to remind the church, hey, remember your belief in Jesus? Man, go back to that. He says, as you receive Jesus, listen what else he says, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord. As we said it already, there's one thing to believe in Jesus and to see Jesus as your Savior, but as followers of Jesus, Jesus is our Lord. So what does lordship mean? Because we see it pop up quite a bit in the scriptures. Well, Lord, all it really means in a more modern sense, that Jesus is our leader. Jesus is the Lord over our finances. Jesus is the Lord over our sexuality. Jesus is the Lord over our values, right? Jesus isn't just there just to help you when you just need help. No, Jesus is there to give you wisdom, to guide you, to provide for you, to do all these things for you. And friends, we will see ourselves in a much greater light towards this progress that we want to accomplish in our lives when we see Jesus as Lord, because the way you view Jesus dictates the way you practice Jesus. Thank you for that. The way you see Jesus dictates the way that you practice Jesus. And the question I want to ask is Jesus just a good helper or is Jesus Lord in your life? Is Jesus just somebody that's, hey, you know what, man, I like you on Sundays, I'll think about you? Or is he the one who has authority? Is he the one who has grounds of leadership in your life? And Paul is trying to remind them, hey, listen, that's one thing again to have belief in him, but he's got to be Lord. And then he goes further and he says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. It's very common language in the New Testament, very common language for Paul. Paul was really the only author that would say this. He's got 12 letters in the New Testament, so he's the only one that uses this. But this word walk, all it means to conduct your life after someone else. So Paul says, conduct your life after Christ. And then he uses this amazing word in verse 7. Look at verse 7. He says this, the way you shape your life, the way you walk in life, it begins by being rooted. Rooted. I didn't just make it up, y'all. Listen, the Bible talks about being connected to Christ. He says being rooted. Now, the Bible loves to use the imagery of like plants and trees. It loves to talk about this imagery of plants and trees because it's supposed to give a greater reality towards the believer's life. Like I said in Jeremiah 17:7, it says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water. Now, the only way that the tree has growth is that it has to be rooted in the ground. So it says Jesus is your foundation. Christ is the foundation of our lives. It gives this imagery quite a bit in the scriptures that our growth happens when we are rooted. And then he uses this next language. This is the process of what it looks like to be connected to Jesus. Because you want to know what it looks like to follow Jesus? Look at verse 7. He says, rooted, but then also built up. Now, I'm not an engineer. I'm not an architect. I'm just a preacher. But I know that this word, what it means is, it means to increase. It means addition. Right? Like, so just imagine like a brick house, right? It became a brick house when they started to lay brick after brick after brick in their lives. And it came into completion because they continuously added an increase to the house. And that's what it looks like to be rooted in Jesus, that he begins to bring increase in your life. And the one thing he increases, and the one thing that I need the most, wisdom. Because I do a lot of stupid things. And if I'm apart from Jesus, then I'm apart from this great tool called wisdom. Thank you forever. I'm apart from this. And you know what else? He begins to increase in our lives this thing called grace. Because I can be very, very harsh. I can be, if my kids could talk, you can just, they'll tell you, yeah, dad can be very, very hard. He begins to bring increase into our lives. That's what it looks like to be rooted and connected to Christ. And then he uses this language. He says in verse 7, established in the faith. This is what this means. This is all that it means. This is the process. Maturity. Why do we need to be anchored in Christ? Because there are some things that we need to continuously mature at. There's some things that we need to continuously address in our lives. And it gets addressed and it takes action when we are anchored in Christ. When we are rooted in Christ. Listen, I'm sure there's a lot of self-help books out there. There's a lot of self-help conferences. There's a lot of great things out there. But you become that mature person, that mature Christian, only when Jesus is your foundation. Only when Jesus is the firm foundation, is the one that you are rooted in the most. See, a rooted and built up lifestyle, an established lifestyle. How do we go about that? Because it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to practice it. How do we go about that? Well, I believe the thing that I see practiced the most in scriptures, that we become rooted, built up, and establish through the practice, you ready? A prayer. I know that may feel like, well, you got more than that, bro. Like, I mean, prayer is cool, but is there anything else that you could tell me? No, there's nothing else. You want to know why? Because the constant thing that I see in the scriptures is the importance and the essential of prayer. Now, here's the thing. If you're like me, you're kind of like, well, I only pray when I'm in trouble. Or I need God to get me out of a situation. I only pray for those moments and those times. That's the only time that I would give God my attention. But friends, I just want to remind you, prayer, it's more than just asking God for something. Because if you base your prayer life on just trying to get something from God, and when he doesn't give it, you'll walk away. There's a lot of reasons why people walk away from the church and they walk away from Jesus, because there's one thing that they ask, and because God didn't answer that prayer, they then drift away from faith. I one time heard a quote, a guy said, just a side note, a guy said this, if God answered all your prayers, that wouldn't make him all wise. Let that sit. If God answered all your prayers, that wouldn't make him all wise. I was like, ooh, that makes a lot of sense. No, prayer is more than that. Prayer is the raising of the heart and the mind on God. Prayer is more than just asking something from God. Prayer, it is communing with God. Because there's one thing that you were created for. You weren't created just to hustle and chase success. You weren't created just to try to find your identity in all these empty areas and these empty places. No, friends, you were created to commune with your Father. You were created to have fellowship with God. That's why you were created. And we begin to live life in its fullness when we have God as nearness. When we're near to God. But we got to establish this thing called prayer. And prayer is essential for the changed life, because a changed life is a prayerful life. A changed life is a prayerful life. We got to be connected, and we got to have a great understanding and a great idea and a great purpose of the reason why we pray. And prayer is nothing but having a constant state of dependency. Prayer is nothing but a constant state of dependency upon God. You ever heard of the Lord's Prayer, right? Right? Our Father, we're going to do the King James, guys. That's what we're going to do? Okay. I guess we're due to King James. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what does it say next? Now stop. Notice that passage is nothing but dependency. That's all about dependency. Give us, forgive us, lead us. See, friends, the more we depend on God, the more we give transformation a chance. Does that make sense? See, the more we lean into God, the more, but that only takes place through this powerful tool that God gives us, that Jesus examples for us. We see Jesus in the Gospels a lot. Pray. Because he knew that his meaning and his value wasn't in anything else rather than being connected to the Father. And really what Jesus was doing at that moment, he was exampling for us what it looks like to live in communion and dependency on God. And that looks like when we pray. When we have an accurate prayer life, a strategic prayer life, asking God to bring radical, real change in our lives. Because here's the thing, the prayer life, a prayerful life, is the way you maintain the new life. Does that make sense? The prayerful life, the life that is anchored in Christ, is the way to maintain the new life. Because truth of the matter is, friends, we are always threatened with this thing called going backwards. And a lot of us cannot afford to go backwards. Can we just be honest? A lot of us cannot afford to go back to the college ways. Maybe I'm just talking about myself. But a lot of us, we can't afford to go back to the old ways, the ways that were destroying relationships, the ways that were destroying our health, the ways that was destroying so much in our lives. We cannot afford that. And the way we pursue through that is anchored in this thing, in this powerful thing called prayer. My uncle, he has been following us. What's up, Uncle? We have been following us through this message series, because I don't know if you guys know, we've been borrowing from the AA community, and he went through AA 3 times. And he says every time that I relapsed was because I wasn't anchored in the right places. He said, every time I relapsed. Now, my uncle, he's the type of guy, you already got that family member that's a little bit too honest? A little bit too honest. Like, I'm not going to tell you what he said. I'm not going to share with you what he told me because I want to preach again and Chet won't let me up here. But he says, one of my biggest problems was when I got to this step, the step that we're going to talk about today. He says, one of my biggest problems is that step 11 was absent in my life. He says, if I would have practiced that, then my first time, I would have actually completed it. But because I got because I saw progress, I became a little bit complacent. I said, I'm good, I'm all right, I'm fine, I'm finally healed, and then next year, a month later, you relapse. And friends, this is why this is so important in our lives. And as you guys know, and we've been following the 12 steps of the community, because we believe that the 12 steps gives us a fresher way to live. And this is the way to live. Step 11, look at this. It says this. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. Because, listen, dear friends, we need, as we continue towards the path of healing, as we continue towards the path of newness, the more we connect to God, the better. The more we connect to God, the more we talk with God, the more God is dominating in our minds. Paul says in Colossians 3, he says, if you have been raised with Christ, set your minds on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. It tells us to do that. It says, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand him, praying only for his knowledge of his will for us because we realize our will sucks. You laugh. I like that. That means that's you. So, because our will is the reason why we landed in a lot of ruin. We tried to be our own. Watch this. When we tried to be our own Lord, we tried to be our own God in our own lives. I don't need help. I'm fine. I got it all together. They're the ones that need help. It's all good. I don't need to change. They need to change. Got that? But this step and this lifestyle, because here's the thing, friends, it's a lifestyle. Prayer is not just something you do at the dinner table. It's not just something you do when you're at weddings. Prayer is a lifestyle. Because you and I were created to commune with the Almighty. And it says we have this conscious contact with God as we understand him, praying only for his knowledge of his will, and to ask for the power to carry it out. Here's the other reason why prayer is so important. It gives us access to God's power. Because here's the thing, friends, we cannot change on our own. That's why we need the constant contact with God so that God can give us this power, so that we can be able to carry out the newness in our lives. That's what prayer is. Prayer is the power to change, the power to grow, the power to mature, the power to have a self-examination, the power to be aware of your foolishness. Because here's the truth, friends. We may make progress in our lives, but we have to realize we got more progress to make. Right? We may make progress, but we got to continuously make progress. What I love about the NBA every single year, they're always, at the end of the year, the teams and the owners and the organizations, they're trying to improve their team. And even if they win a championship, they're still saying, hey, we need to improve our team. We need to get better. And friends, we got to have the same mindset and the same approach to life, that we got to continuously head down this path, but it only begins when we're anchored in Christ and when we're practicing prayer more and more in our lives daily. Because prayer is the power to change. It's the power to stay consistent. It's the power to move forward. For instance, friends, if we refuse air, if our bodies refuse light, if our bodies refuse food, our body suffers, right? You ever just go way too long without food and you get hangry? Anybody get hangry? My wife has this problem. She was diagnosed last week with hangry. Where do you want to eat, babe? Doesn't matter. Just choose a place. Just pick a place. What's wrong? I'm just hungry. As the body needs all of that, so that our soul needs prayer. Without prayer, without connection to God, without being rooted, without any of that, we suffer. And we risk the growth that God wants to take in our lives. So for the rest of the time, what I want to do is I want to talk about what it looks like to take the path of self-examination. Because the thing about it is, friends, we would pray more if we had a better approach to it. We would see the power in prayer if we looked at the other side of it. And what's the one reason why one prays? One comes and communes to God so that God can shine a light in some dark places. Because the truth of the matter is, you and I have a lot of darkness. Sure, we got progress, but we still got a lot of darkness, right? We got a lot of things that, hey, we're improving on, we're getting better at, but God continuously wants to shine the light in our lives because he is the light, and he's the only light that can drive out the real darkness that exists within us. And the only way we drive it out is when we remain in the light. So we remain in the light. So I just want to give you a couple ways of what that looks like. It's a very practical message, but I feel like the more practical we can get, the more transformation we can have, right? That we're not just here just to gain knowledge, and that's great, and to grow in theology, but the one thing that the Bible tells us to do the most is to make it real in our lives. So my prayer is that you and I would look at this message and say, hey, you know what? I've been a little bit disconnected with God. The most God gets of my attention is on Sunday mornings. But rather, I need to daily do the things that it needs to be done so I can create the rhythms of change that need to be created in my life. So I want to start with this. Number one, very easy, very simple. Quiet yourself before the Lord. Quiet yourself before the Lord. We live in a very busy world. My son, he starts soccer in a few weeks. We're super excited, you know. See a little black kid running around kicking the ball. It's real excited. You know, we're real pumped up, right? And then after that, we got T-ball, right? Parents, you know about T-ball, right? And then after that, it's another thing. It's real easy. What I'm saying is it's real easy to get busy in life. And what happens is the busyness of life pushes God out. Right? And we try to analyze our lives. And we try to see, okay, what do I need to take out? What do I need to remove? What do I need to do? Well, the truth of the matter is, friends, the greatest time that we need to be able to continuously set aside is the time that we have with God. Because the best time is the time that we spend with our Father. It's a time that we have presence with God. That's the best time in our lives. Get off your phone. I'm gonna say that again. Get off your phone. My girl Aubrey, she told me yesterday she has this thing where she sets a amount of time to be able to be on Instagram or social media or anything like that. And I was like, man, I need to practice that more because I can get way too busy where God gets shut out. And I get disconnected from the source. One of my favorite examples of this was one time when I came home from school. I came home from school, and as soon as I opened the door, I hear a... And then the next thing that I heard was, Lord, help me! God, help me! So you know me, I don't know what's going on, so I throw off my backpack, I run upstairs, I'm trying to figure out, I realize it's my mom, I open up the door, and there she is on her knees praying. She's praying on her knees, crying out to God, asking for God to intervene and to intercede and to work powerfully in her life more and more. Moral of the story, parents, model to your kids a good prayer life. Model to your children not just what success looks like, not what it looks like to have a good education, but to what it looks like to have a good prayer life. I'm going to be honest with you. My kids are not going to be the next LeBron James. Just being honest. They don't get the height, you know, none of that. All right? But what I asked, I said, Mom, what was going on? She says, I need to realize just because I have extra time, I need to put that towards my time with Christ. And right then and there, I realized how important prayer is. Quiet yourself before the Lord. Number two, be willing to listen and obey. How many of us in prayer, we spend the most time talking, but a lot of us don't know that God wants to speak? Now, I never heard God's audible voice, all right? I'm not that crazy Christian. The Lord just spoke to me. I heard a loud voice. Nope, I'm not Moses. I'm not Abraham. That's just not me. But I have heard the Spirit. I have been able to hear the Spirit being able to speak. So we go before God and we say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. I want to hear from you, God. I want to hear what you have to say to me. And slowly but surely, we start to see God move. God wants to move in our lives. But we got to be silent before him. Number three, delight yourself in God. See God for who he truly is. Beautiful. Great. Majestic. Powerful. Reminds me of the great prayer in Psalm 27 where David says, one thing that I ask of the Lord, which I shall seek, was to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, to gaze upon the beauty of God. Because I always go to God for help. But I want to go to God because he's just that good. And I want to dwell in his presence, and I just want to just find him more. Don't bring up point four
because I forgot to give her the extra point. So this is a point that's not there. I'll give you an extra point. It's not going to be on the screen, but I'll just tell you right now. Got it? All right, here we go. Point number five,
be thankful.
Remember what Paul says? He says that we are to be rooted, built up, and established in the faith just as we were taught. And look how he ends verse 7, abounding with thanksgiving. You know what I realized? I never tell God thank you. I never give credit to God. I never say, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me from that reckless lifestyle that I was living. Thank you for providing for my family. Thank you for making a way when there was no way. Just thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of the good that you brought in my life. Because all the good that is here is because it comes from your hands and your hands alone. Because sometimes I can get so caught up in asking for God's gifts. But prayer is when I want to ask for the giver of the gifts. I just want you, Lord. And now the last point. Bring it up point four. Point five in my nose, point four to you guys, but it's okay. Do it again. Be consistent. Make time throughout your week. Make time throughout your day. Because the best time is the time spent with God. The best time is the time where God has your attention and he has your attention as well. Connect with God. Make it a constant theme in our lives. Because if we get disconnected from the source, then we're liable to go backwards. We're liable to get stuck. We're liable to do the things that, man, we were so victorious over before, but then we lose. Why? Because we get disconnected. Do it again. The most important part of your day is your time with God. Your attention to him. So let's make that a focus and let's make that a practice more and more in our lives. Maybe you're good at it, but guess what? It's easy to fall off. Maybe you're the one who has fallen off. Today is the day where you can get back on. Because God doesn't reject you. God doesn't deny you. God's like, bro, let's go. Let's do this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this amazing reminder that the greatest growth that happens in my life happens only when I have a greater connection with you. Lord, I just want to say I'm sorry that I've allowed the world and the busyness that comes with it to get in the way. I pushed you so far, God. And I've realized that the results of my life are not where they need to be because I'm not where I need to be, which is rooted in you. But God, you're the God who can make all things new. So here I am, Lord, committing myself to you. Here I am, Lord, devoting my life, all of me, not just part of me, but everything in me, my will, my emotions, my intellect, everything, Lord, I'm giving it over to you so that you can do what you need to do, which is to bring real results in my life. Thank you, God, for this great reminder of the importance of being rooted in you. God, I'm done playing religious games. I'm done allowing my life to be dominated with things that are untrue, but rather I want to be connected to the one who is true and brings all truth to my life. So thank you for that. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's perfect name is who we pray. Amen.